This is an ABC podcast.
Hi, I'm Stephen Smiley.
And I'm Ange Lavoie-Pierre, and this is The Signal. At the moment, most religious schools can kick kids out for being gay.
Well, it's the existing law, and we're not proposing to change that law, to take away that existing arrangement that exists.
Right, but since then, the Prime Minister reckons actually that bit of the law does need to go after all. But it does make you wonder, what other exemptions are there in anti-discrimination law?
Don't be a kindergarten teacher in a country town who remarries without first getting an annulment and teaches in a Catholic kindergarten. Don't be that woman, because you're probably done for.
Today on The Signal, all the ways religious groups can still legally discriminate.
Okay, so you probably remember, but in case you forgot, Malcolm Turnbull is not the Prime Minister anymore. And because he resigned from the Parliament when he lost the job, there's an election coming up in his seat to replace him.
Right, and Malcolm Turnbull's old seat is Wentworth in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, which just happens to be quite a progressive place and also a strong contender for the gayest electorate in Australia.
Right, and given that the government's very keen to hang on to the seat, you can imagine the last thing it wants to be doing right now is to be standing up and saying how great it is that Christian and other religious schools can expel kids who come out as gay, or to have an even wider debate about all the forms of legal discrimination against gay or trans or intersex people.
We'll just work to ensure that we close that loophole as quickly as possible and in as cooperative a way as possible, and I would just hope that we can just do this sensibly and in good faith and not to pile on a whole bunch of other agendas and arguments.
So that's Scott Morrison saying that it's actually not okay to expel a kid over their sexuality.
Yep, and he reckons he's going to change that particular part of the law as soon as he can, but he doesn't want to go any further, and that position is quite a shift from where he was just a few days before when he said it was basically fine for schools to be able to do that because that's just how it is.
They already can. That's the existing law. That's the existing law.
But as an individual, do you believe that it's fair that a child could be rejected from school because...
Well, it's the existing law. And we're not proposing to change that law, to take away that existing arrangement that exists.
So you're comfortable with the school expelling a student because they're gay or lesbian?
It's existing law.
Okay, now the reason this has flared up is that after same-sex marriage was passed into law last year, the former PM Malcolm Turnbull got Philip Ruddock, who used to be a member of the Howard government, to look into the law around religious freedom. And the report that he worked on has been handed to the government, but it hasn't been released publicly.
Sure, but Fairfax newspapers got a leaked copy of it last week. And one of the suggestions in it was that the federal parliament should legislate to allow religious schools to discriminate against gay kids, if discriminating against them is based on the school's belief system. Oh, and if they are upfront about that being their policy.
Right, and there was also a requirement that the school have a think about, quote, the best interests of the child.
And now the government's saying it's not going to take that recommendation on board. In fact, it might be heading in the exact opposite direction. And a cynic might say that that could be about heading off a way bigger and extremely uncomfortable conversation about all the other ways that religious institutions are exempted from anti-discrimination laws.
Right, so to get up to speed on what those other exemptions are, we called this guy.
I'm David Marr. I'm a journalist with The Guardian, and for years I've been writing about religious exemptions from anti-discrimination laws, the privileges that have allowed religious bodies to threaten or sometimes carry out their wish to sack staff, expel students for not living up to God's holy word on their sex lives.
Okay, so David Marr has been, like he said, on about this for a very long time, but the whole struggle between discrimination law and all the religious exemptions actually dates back to the 80s.
Well, the full picture is that in the 1980s, 90s and thereafter, as anti-discrimination laws were enacted for the first time around Australia and in the Commonwealth, religions demanded exceptions to be able to sack or refuse to employ people who didn't fit the sex rules. And mainly this was, of course, aimed at homosexuals. And they demanded it of governments and they were given it by governments.
Yeah.
It was a kind of SOP as governments were decriminalising homosexuality. Remember, Australia came very late to that operation, really late, and
New South Wales was typical. They tried to buy off the churches by saying, okay, but we will give you freedom to deal with homosexuals and, of course, lesbians and unmarried mothers and all of that kind of thing as freely as you wish when you're employing staff for nursing homes and hospitals and schools.
Okay, so at the moment, if you're a religious organisation and you run a hospital or a nursing home or a school or whatever, not only can you kick out students who are gay, but you can also refuse to hire staff members who are gay or even divorced or a whole range of things, really.
Right, and because of that, David Marr reckons unions advise all kinds of members working in the sector to be pretty discreet about these things, just to be on the safe side.
It's very interesting to talk to officials of the private school teachers' union about the sackings that go on there. And while the expulsion of kids is rare, it happens, but it's rare, the sacking of teachers happens frequently. It depends on the community, it depends on the church, it depends on the teacher. But don't be, they tell me, don't be a kindergarten teacher in a country town who remarries without first getting an annulment and teaches in a Catholic kindergarten. Don't be that woman, because you're probably done for.
And do the unions say that this is overt? Like the school says, sorry, you can't come back next year because
of course it's overt. It's completely overt.
And the reason is conveyed.
And the union advises women who work in Catholic schools not to let their schools know if they're getting IVF treatment. And it's overt and it happens. They get sacked. And it's not just in schools. These rules are so widely drafted that they also apply in hospitals and nursing homes and in all faith charities. Theoretically, the church has a right in all the mainland states and territories to refuse to employ a gay surgeon in a hospital because he's gay, or a gay gardener in a hospital because he's gay. The breadth of these laws is extraordinary.
So those are some pretty broad exemptions from anti-discrimination laws, and a lot of them are written into various state laws too.
Exactly. And look, David Marr reckons there's one somewhat radical overhaul to all these exemptions that the federal government should consider in this space, and we're going to get into what that is a bit later. But first, this law change that Scott Morrison wants to make now that Parliament's back, how's that going to work if the federal law prohibits schools from kicking out gay kids, but the state laws let them do it in some cases?
Yeah, it's a good question. So to answer it, we caught up with Anna Brown. She's an anti-discrimination law specialist at the Human Rights Law Centre in Melbourne. And it turns out it's not so much that the new federal laws would override the existing ones, it's just that people would opt to use them more.
If the new federal laws are brought into force and you're a kid in a school, you would logically choose to bring your complaint under the federal law that still, you know, gave you more chance of success rather than under the state law that, depending on where you live, that may have an exemption, or if you're in Tasmania or a couple of other states and territories, it may not.
So it kind of renders those state laws irrelevant in some ways.
Yes. I mean, and really that's what happens because of the two parallel systems. Once you go down one path, the other path becomes irrelevant. And once we have a higher level of protection available federally, then it makes sense that people will naturally gravitate towards the protections in that act or legislation, because that sets a new standard across the country. And if you're a sensible faith-based school, you'd make sure that your conduct complies with the national law that applies to you, as well as the state law that might have a lesser standard.
Okay, so what happens to those state laws then? Like, do they just sit there gathering dust now?
Well, not necessarily. In fact, they could well follow the lead of the federal law.
Well, what we see over time is that as states take their turn to reform their laws, and then the federal law moves forward, and every jurisdiction learns from the experience of the last jurisdiction, and we get sort of new benchmarks and good practice and protection. For instance, the Northern Territory is currently conducting a review of its anti-discrimination laws. So when that happens and it's a comprehensive review rather than just a little quick fix that's happening now in the federal law in relation to kids and schools, then the Northern Territory may likely be the new sort of gold standard across the country. Well, let's hope so. And in that way, we see an incremental sort of increase. Usually, if all goes to plan, we don't usually see regression and laws going backwards. That sort of happens in quite a organic, incremental way across the country.
Okay, so that's the sort of slow change that lawyers are predicting might happen, but there might be another way that this stuff moves.
Yeah, particularly as it applies to those situations we were talking about before, to the exemptions for institutions to sack or refuse to hire certain types of people because of the institution's religious beliefs.
Right, and David Marr reckons at least one side of politics in Australia is starting to question whether those exemptions should exist at all if those schools or hospitals or nursing homes are on public money.
What Labor sources are telling me they are considering doing is moving to the same position of that applies in Britain. For a long time in Britain, the rule has been that if you want to do these terrible things to your staff or to the people you care for or employ or serve, then you can't have public money to do it. You've got to do it with your own money. You've got to make a choice between your faith and your funds. And if you want a right to refuse to hire lesbian teachers, well, then you can't have public money to do that. And the Labor Party is considering that. And that cleans the whole thing up immediately because, of course, all of these faith charities say, no, we've got to have the money. And that would solve it in a shot.
In which case, it's probably fair to expect a slow motion replay of this whole fight in the run up to the actual election, right?
And that could be really nasty.
That's it from us. You can hit me or Smiley up on Twitter if you want to say hello there, or there's an email we have, which is thesignal@abc.net.au.
And subscribe if you're liking the pod. There's an episode out every single day.
We'll catch you tomorrow.
Bye.